Welcome, allies, to the Visionary Activist Show, and I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey. So we have a lot on our work table. There's so much to and fro, and our wonderful guest, Daniel Jamario, will be joining us perfectly as soon as Mercury stationing lets that happen. There we go. We're all in this thing together. So we are welcoming soon the return of astro-mytho-guiding narrative colleague Daniel Jamario to co-guide Uranus, nature's evolutionary trickster genius, has entered Taurus for the next 7 years, the realm of participatory animism. On yesterday's Ash Wednesday, new moon conjoining Neptune at the Grail degree, as Mercury stations at the last degree of the zodiac to go backwards, all the way back to March 28th to conjoin with Neptune to retrieve whatever we need for a sane, reverent renaissance. We are all here ladling Calliope, the ninth muse, out of the cauldron of calamity. And just for the future, Daniel's website is shamanicastrology.com. So while we're waiting for a guest, it's a perfect time to remind us that we are in Fund Drive. This is the last day for the Visionary Activist Show Fund Drive. And again, the number is 1-800-439-5732. But we have some really fabulous things. Oh, that's great. And welcome, Daniel. There you are.
I am here. Hello there, Caroline.
That's excellent. All homage to Mercury. We love Mercury. Let me do what I was about to do and then come right back back to you in honor of your guesthood. We are offering just really fun enticements. We're offering the Green Wizard Audio Recording Collection. It's really fabulous. It's with Stephen Buhner, several Stephen Buhners, All Nature Wants to Heal Us, with Michael Mead, really great, Animating the Festival of Animism, This Is All Pertinent, John Michael Greer, Apocalypse Not, How Not to Be Freaked Out by the End of Times, another John Michael Greer, really great, The Archdruid Report, Derek Jensen's first radio appearance, and I got him to laugh. I got Derek Jensen to laugh, even though our subject was grief as nutrient compost for now. Then another Derek Jensen. I got him to laugh, moving to collective center stage. And then another Derek Jensen, Venus in myriad forms. And then wonderful David Bloom, awash in the green fire of ingenious solutions. And then another David Bloom, and then a council of energy scouts with David Bloom. And the late, great Pat Spears, and the late, great Bob Goff, and the still-breathing Alan Bear. So all of those can be yours, downloadable, because we're not doing plastic CDs anymore, for a pledge of $100 or a subscription of $10 a month. And then we're also offering Visionary Activist Show Myth and Mushrooms, James Hillman, the very first Visionary Activist Show, and a million Paul Stamets talks, some of which are not available except through here. One is a private conversation we had, and the other one is the best talk he's ever given, which was at the Eclipse Festival, and that's for a pledge of $100. And we're also offering the Visionary Activist Show tote bag. If fascism arises in the absence of magic, then let magic rise, for a pledge of $60 or subscription, $15 a month. All of these can be yours by calling 1-800-439-5732 or pledging online. All of you pod people out there and web people, kpfa.org. All right, there we go. Don't be completely fascinated. Go to your phones and dial 1-800-439-5732. And now, Daniel. All right, so there's so much on our work table. I love yesterday's Ash Wednesday. We'll use everything, you know. And Mardi Gras the night before must have been pretty good, because it was the last moment of Uranus in Aries. Woohoo, woohoo! And now, Ash Wednesday, new moon at the Grail Legend degree, conjoining Neptune, Mercury stationing at the last degree of the zodiac, Chiron at the first degree. The moon is there now. Back to you, Daniel.
Well, I've been over here in the U.S. now for about 6 weeks, and boy, my plate has been filled. I just finished teaching two classes of 25 students each in our school, which one was enhancements course of the paradigm, and the second was a cosmology presentation. Those were wonderful, and I also personally in honor of Pluto reaching my Capricorn moon, I did a 12-day vision fast experience in Death Valley with the School of Lost Borders, which was phenomenal. I was actually introduced by the ancient stone elders into a vast hierophany of the most astounding petroglyph and rock art site that I've ever seen in my entire life, including three-dimensional rock art of the likes that I've only seen inside caves in Europe and Indonesia. So it was really, really quite profound and actually reanimated. I always love any also reference to animism. Reanimated my original commitment in the work I do to oral tradition, to being with the land and the sky, and to not put everything into virtual, and to just remember our connection to our Earth Mother. And it was really quite profound for me. And I have about another week or 10 days in the U.S. before I go back to Asia. A lot of things on the table. Been talking a lot about Uranus into Taurus, into its final ingress of, and the Chiron into Aries, its final ingress for this 7 or 8 years. But also the upcoming Venus and Mars in the underworld together, which you might be fascinated to know that they actually, if you don't know this already, they join together at a very important degree for both of us, 4 degrees Virgo.
Which is oddly, that is Roger Stone's son. just for the, it's Mohammed bin Salman, Roger Stone, and Michael Cohen are all Virgos.
The same degree as my rising sun. Is my Venus, and the same degree as my wife's 4 degree Virgo rising.
Right, Irishman dreams of little people. And what is Roger Stone doing with that degree? It's part of our dynamic that we also we do, all of us. We will translate everything into resonant English. There we go, to animate the metaphors being so generously proffered to us by the backstage divine, lest we leave them by default to the Dementors of Doom. Meaning, here's a particularly vivid version. So Mars is in Taurus now at 14 plus degrees Taurus, a degree I love very much, but it was also the degree rising when Trump was inaugurated, again reminding us to animate the metaphors in a desirable way, lest we leave them by default to the Dementors, because the image for that degree, according to Steve Eardley's Sabians, which I like, is a stranger walks into town in the midst of a wild windstorm, wearing a silk top hat, carrying a large black bag, the controller of hidden forces. So it's like, oh no, let's each of us become this to suck the chi out of the Bannon Trump black magic. So there's that. Okay.
Yeah, right.
And then the Mercury retrograding back to conjoin with Neptune on March 28th to retrieve, we both like Mercury retrograde, to retrieve this beautiful image. Rich and poor alike pour out onto rain-drenched streets in a joyous rebirth celebration that we may have a culture of kinship dedicated to collective well-being. So, yeah, it's happened. Places happen.
Well, I recognize here every time I talk with you, and I finally put it together, that you are clearly the maven of Sabian symbol imagery, then in the same way I love to animate and explain the mysteries of our time via the Venus, Mars, and Mercury synodic cycles and the imagery that they have.
Right. Well, let's brew it all together. It's for everybody, for all of our dedicated listeners and their dogs, and everything, because a lot of dogs listen to this show, I'm told. I like that. And cats, too, actually. Somebody told me, Roy of Hollywood, shout out, that his cat was recovering from dental surgery and was all depressed, and then he put on my show. We did a great show last week with Karen Sanders, and the cat started purring and felt good for the first time. I'm like, oh, yes, all right. Animals like this show. That's what we're pledging for. So, yeah, and then I maybe we honor wherever you want to go, I like the Mercury stationing at the last degree of the zodiac, holding hands with Chiron and now the moon at the first degree of the zodiac, and then it's as though Mercury snaps fingers, the Hermia within us all, and goes, wait, I've got to go retrieve things. And all of us, we want to go reconnect and retrieve with the rock paintings and the anything that has ever moved humans to conscious kinship, anything that has ever encouraged our species to have manners. No, there we go. Right.
So the invocation of being able to go into altered states, ecstatic states of connection to the collective feminine heart of the one reality. I love the fact that, well, like in the sonotic cycle work we do with Mercury, the point of stationary direct is what we use to establish the primary energy of the next 120 days, you know, the next Mercury cycle. And in this particular Mercury cycle, both the conjunction with the Sun, the beginning of the retrograde, and then the stationary direct point, which almost always corresponds with its visibility in the morning sky, it's all Pisces. So this is without question the inauguration of the part of what we do as a species to communicate, to cognize, and to perceive. are within the archetypal reality of Pisces, which not only is the heart, you know, the compassion and the connection to love, but also grief and sorrow, but is also that longing, that authentic longing of as a species of connecting to ecstatic states, you know, rites of passage that connect us to the elixir of the heart that is from the connection to the heart of the universe. And I think that's very important in a retrograde time, because it means that, as we all know, you know, the reputation of Mercury retrograde is that we cannot trust linear processes, but that's not what the intent is during this transformational metamorphic shift into a Piscean version of communicative software. Of perception and cognition capacities to perceive what only the right brain can perceive, you know, through the subjective experience, the heartful feeling experience, and not the expectation of anything particularly linear or logical.
Right, and in a sense, you know, it's reminding us, well, many, many things. You know, it's going back to go Kahoot with Neptune, reminding us from the very first show I did with James Hillman in 23 years ago, we were talking about the restoration of mythological literacy, and that strategic cultural advantage goes to those cultivating intimacy with the power of symbols, dreams, fairy tales. I stick in detective novels in there too. And so important now, because it really says, you know, that, well, there's also a witty thing that I'm going to say and then toss back to you. But so when I was watching the Michael Cohen testimony, you know, there's my screen. Yes, I'm not out there in the world like you yourself, but watching the screen, the moon was at 22 plus Sagittarius, where Jupiter is now. And with Steve Eardley Sabian, the image for that is the crown and torch of the Statue of Liberty, the necessity to defend democracy from tyranny. I go, oh, mythic news, you're doing so well, right? And now Jupiter's at that degree, square Neptune, and it says, well, democracy is really counting on magic now. I mean, and magic, a willingness to cooperate with everything, but the power of symbols, lest we leave it by default to the Bannon Trump Dementors, because Bannon is a trained esotericist dingbat.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And so, he's used that material that we've talked about before, the really remarkable material that's in that book, The Fourth Turning, which it was influenced Al Gore as well as it influenced Steve Bannon. But of course, you can use that template from whatever direction you want.
Well, what is that? Say, what is that secret book that Al Gore and Steve Bannon were reading together?
This is really a remarkable book. In fact, it's influenced a great deal of my understanding of the astrological cycles. It's called The Fourth Turning, and it has to do with the concept around the saeculum, which was invented by the Etruscans, which is a way of perceiving four phases of any culture. They felt that when something birthed, that it would go through four seasons, and then at around the 90-year point, then that it would have to rebirth. And so this information was all placed upon the template of American history. And there is a fourth turning or a crisis point that always happens around the 80th to the 90th year. It was charted out really quite brilliantly. And the time period of the end of a fourth turning is 2020 to 2025. And I was actually reading that. Well, you can track it back to, you know, World War II and the Depression, to the Civil War, to the American Revolution. And it's fitting in beautifully with the nature of the different generations that actually helped me have a greater compassion for the grief I went through after the dreams of the late 60s and early 70s fell apart. It was all fully explained by the understanding of how the generations turn one after another. And Bannon was highly influenced by that, and he felt that he would be an agent of destruction, so that basically that he would promote the collapse, so that therefore he would then be able to direct the direction of what comes out of it. Gore read it in a different way, you know, because it's nowhere in the book. It was written in 97. Actually, the people who wrote the book are the ones that invented they were the ones responsible for coming up with the generational name, the Millennials.
I was just going to say the grief over the dreams of the 60s falling apart, and I go, no, lad. Of course, the Uranus-Pluto conjunction of the 60s that described it, and then there's people born then as well who are the 60s. So I like thinking for everything toxic, there's a positive, liberating, trickster version. So I think of the 60s as a positive sleeper cell, right? That Uranus will be...
It's explained from the perspective that it had to happen that way. That's the visionary generation that fits into American history all the way back. It's beyond the scope of our conversation now to go into all of it. But what makes it, I think, relevant is that it corresponds, the 2020 to 2025 time, you know, also corresponding to America's Pluto return. It corresponds to the Jupiter-Saturn, you know, the whole alignment in Capricorn, as well as what's happening on the U.S. chart, that we're approaching a crisis point to which anything can come out of the composting of what happens at this stage in the cycle.
Yeah, I think composting is an excellent metaphor, and we say all ritual magic really is literalized metaphor. So it's everybody put a cauldron on your table. What do we want to compost into nutrients? You know, and what do we heat? That's right, because well, the whole world is dancing with what Pluto represents, and you and I in our charts are quite specifically dancing with that. Going, okay, what must we die to, lest we die from? What, you know, personally and collectively, toss that into the thing, and we go, well, yeah. But especially, you know, I that's fascinating about the fourth turning, and I suppose we should all read that kind of like Bannon's crib book, and it's like, But yeah, with yourself and other people and Gary Lockman, you know, Dark Star Rising, magic and power in the era of Trump, you know. So it's kind of the whole point of, well, everything that we've ever done in our lives and this show, the Visionary Activist Show, for 23 years on some level, which is, come on, good-hearted team, you know, the wedding of ingenious social action with this, let's bring in Uranus and Taurus, with this animistic wheel and deal, with this willingness to cooperate with everything, with the power of symbols, that we can, again, be, you know, magnetize, you know, and animate and spiral forth the irresistible, inclusive story. Come on, we can do this thing. So as we know, Uranus entered Taurus March 6th. There we go. Until I think it's April 27th, 2026, 7 years. So what I've been kind of pitching is you know, the science report says, oh, humans, you've got 12 years to ameliorate some of the worst aspects of complicitous climate chaos. And I think astrology, in a sense, says seven years. Seven slow, deep years of Uranus and Taurus, meaning to restore our collaborative, pragmatic, mystic magic, right?
In my opinion, also to restore soul back into so-called mainstream astrology, which I think has been left on the wayside. I mean, obviously, there's some incredibly amazing exceptions to that, but I'm thinking about how much soul there was in it in the 70s, and then how it kind of regressed into determinism, and you know, let's see, to see what the Hellenists did it, and that's just all you know, that's sort of like a cultural framework of that time, and it's not so much relating to how we're relating to the archetypal shifts that are happening currently. If I might, if I could go back to something you brought up about Neptune and about this Mercury retrograde in Pisces.
Yes, yes, please.
Well, I just was. I think it relates very much to the larger project that you're involved with. I was reminded that the psyche cannot tell the difference between mythic reality and literal reality. So the more we can inform our psyche of the magic, of the stories, of the possibilities, of what is dancing in other dimensions, that is just as effective as trying to change something or seeing the what's happening on objective reality, you know. So that if our psyche is dancing with the magic, that's as much of a difference as if you're just trying to, you know, change the external.
No, that's lovely. I mean, I think of it as, you know, the everything, all of creation is meeting backstage, you know, going, what are we going to do about the humans? We got to kill them or heal them. Let's do both, but let's try healing them first. You know, that humans can rejoin the choreography of creation. And as yeah, you know, you and I have been in cahoots for so long, you know, we love this exquisite language, much dissed, right? And turning into a priesthood every now and then. No, don't do that. But it is this exquisite language of our interior psyche and its connection through a very thin membrane we call identity to the whole large collective pulse, like, you know, and I love just in the chart of us today, you know, and for all of our dedicated participant listeners, the part of fortune is at 11 plus Leo, which is a great undercover agent degree. We learn a lot. You learn from the real sky, and I aspire to study with you more. But also, if we get quirky runs of clients, but for a while I had spies and undercover agents, mostly for good, you know, but they all had something at 11 plus Leo. That's our part of fortune, which is the Sabian for that is an evening lawn party lit up with lanterns inside the more conventional guests, outside the undercover agents exchange information. And so I like, you know, positive intrigue, right? The positive Pluto intrigue that people, you know, when they conspire to do something good, it draws upon more elegant parts of their psyche. So we're enticing everyone to be part of positive intrigue. Let me thank some positive intrigue allies. There's a matching donation of $800 by our undercover agents, Rob and Linda in Berkeley. Linda in Berkeley and two anonymous callers in Alameda and Woodacre. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So there's a donation, a matching donation. Let's do this thing, team, by calling 1-800-439-5732, 1-800-439-5732, or online at kpfa.org. You know, oodles of thank you gifts, you know, the Visionary Activist Show Green Wizard Collection. Myth and Mushrooms, Hillman and Stamets collection, the Visionary Activist tote bag. The collections are for $100 each, the tote bag for $60. 1-800-439-5732. All right, now back to you. There we go.
I was just trying to imagine someday I'll have to listen to that show. I can't imagine what that must have been like. Hillman and mushrooms and magic. What a rascal that guy was.
That would be good. We can play backstage. Hillman on mushrooms. Now there we go.
Let's dose
all the ancestors. Yeah, I would have loved to have taken a magic mushroom trip with James Hillman. I did what I could. Let's put it that way.
Or maybe not.
Right.
But the magic went to his son, you know, I mean, who's an incredible archetypal astrologer now.
Yeah, right. No, that's a wonderful thing. We're all in this dream together, and that's, I think, also part of the dynamic, you know. And you know, the Trickster Training Council that I do, and one of my wonderful allies, Imuna, was part of your school this last week.
Yes.
I love her.
And in fact,
really great.
She actually left something for me that she wanted.
Good.
To take down from her time together here. I don't. It would now be an appropriate time for me to. It's just very short. It's really beautiful.
Sure. Yeah. Absolutely.
This is from her, and she indicated to me that she's seeing you tomorrow. So, but anyway, this was her summation of the work that she did here over the last week.
Mm-hmm.
She says, "We co-create a world where children play with happy hearts and bellies. Yin and yang dance on equal footing. A rainbow of relationships is relished. Freedom from dogma flourishes, and spirit in all form is celebrated. Elephants roam and mountains stay whole. Wildflowers in three sister gardens bloom. Trees are hugged and their time is honored. People leave their homelands for adventures, and refugee camps are empty." May it be so. Isn't that beautiful?
Very beautiful. Yeah, poignancy is kinship. No, that's very, very eye-watering. Oh, good for you, Imuna, and good for you, Daniel, for convening such council. But, and that was all kind of a warm-up by saying that, yes, there we go, and the Monday night, well, there's so many venues, but we'll come back to here where we are. But one of our team also, wonderful Evangeline, you know, on our Monday call, is a really great keeper of Ho'oponopono, you know, of healing the world by healing the thing within. And I think this is very resonant to us now, you know, because here's the evolutionary assignment and kerfuffle and catch 22, which is the Dementors of Doom, the Bannon people, right? They do cruel, horrific things. The separation of children, we must never, ever forget that until those children are reunited, and the really incredible harm that they're doing. So they do terrible things, which of course create appropriate outrage, like, ah, but they feed on outrage. The Dementors feed on polarity and hatred and heat and vitriol and reactivity. So they do things that give rise to that. It's a kind of monstrous, you know, Ouroboros kind of thing. So we, right, want to be first responders, not first reactors. And here comes the Neptune and the green wizardry quality and the assuming cultural narrative lead. So we're not just reacting, but going over here, everyone welcome over here, let's go, right? I mean, does that resonate with yourself as well?
Well, very much so. And like the way of perceiving the entrance of Chiron into Aries, okay, which I think is a marvelous resonant with what we're talking about here, that I follow Dale O'Brien's lead, which is that when we look at something like a Chiron ingress, we have to remember more than anything that Chiron was a teacher. And so to me, that Chiron into Aries is specifically giving us the elixir magic, if we can find it, of transforming that sort of Aryan kind of thing that's been dominating for at least the last 5 or 6,000 years, of having to have an enemy, you know, having to have a polarity.
Right.
The, you know, Martine's latest book, The Smell of Rain on Dust, is just establishes unbelievable background about the more, you know, more times you have war, then, you know, basically those spirits hang around, they become ghosts, they're not sent off to the next place, and it just builds and builds and builds. You have revenge and vengeance and the whole thing, and it just continues onward. That whole dance has to somehow be magically shifted, and I think that's what Chiron moving into Aries is giving us an opportunity to do, to somehow transform Aries to another level, to kind of dream the mystery school of Aries into a new place, which is not thriving on what Hillman wrote in his last book, you know, A Terrible Love of War. I mean, it's a very difficult book to read, but unbelievably brilliant, and even predicted in that book, huh?
Yeah, no, keep going.
He even predicted in that book that that book would be the last one he ever would write because it would kill him. You know, the failure to honor, you know, the god Ares out in the field, so they needed to have bloodlust and, you know, that kind of thing. Anyway, I thought it was a great expression of the shadow of Ares, which we are intending in our school to help that transformation of, like, shifting Aries into a whole different vibration. So it's not just the repetition of that same thing over and over.
Well, it's kind of lovely. Right. I didn't love that book, but that's a whole other show.
You don't have to love it.
Right. I gave him a hard time. We actually, Hillman and I were on stage together in a conversation at Robert Bly's Great Mother Conference, and it was, you know, it was the week of his Uranus return, and he was going on about how people actually need war. I'm like, oh, James, I don't think you even believe that.
I didn't pick that up from his book at all.
Right. Oh, good. Excellent. Well, I'm willing to relook at everything. What the hell? But again, that quality of, yes, redefining heroism, and absolutely, you know, to throw into the cauldron our addiction to having an enemy, that, you know, that polarity, dynamic, and it's so interestingly sneaky, you know, and for ourselves as well, you know, that's why it takes practice, you know, to not go.
I'll give you a very wild expression of it. An old a colleague of mine, a guy with lots and lots of Aries, he took it to the limit. He whenever in ceremony, he would basically scream out, "I have been waiting 13,000 years for the great battle between the light and the dark. Bring it on."
Which is the most
classic extreme statement of it I've ever heard.
It does appeal to people. I mean, it's like, you know, I love true conspiracy theories. I love true conspiracy theories, which is why we want discernment team, just on the category of, you know, people go, but whatever. It's like, does it, you know, is there a blessing? Is there a solution? Does it, you know, and so part of my criterion is about the conspiracy theories is it a sneaky form of colonialism of us versus them? We are enlightened people, but they are, you know, reptiles, or whatever the thing is, and we go, no, there's a flag on that play, inadvertent colonialism, 5-yard penalty, decline, ball back in play, here we go. But it is very, you know, how to not be snookered into that, rah-rah, you know, and self-observation is useful too. It's like, for a while I was, you know, minding people fending off wonder, and I go, but am I fending off wonder by minding people fending off wonder? Got myself. And the same thing about the polarity. Am I polarized against people who are polarized? Oh no, it's very that. Well, see, I want to toss it back to you in our precious remaining 7 minutes here before I dedicatedly pitch. But that idea of, you know, Uranus to and fro animism, it's what I call, you know, backstage bartering for onstage miracles. And what I want to toss to you, something I'm really kind of working on, and people seem particularly receptive, even in the strangest of places, is if we can negotiate backstage to ameliorate some of the horrific climate change coming to all beings, metaphorically. And what I kind of work on is, you know, Edgar Cayce, an authentic psychic Pisces guy, in the 1940s predicted that in the 1970s, the East Coast of America would be deluged by a great flood. And what we got was Watergate. So I like can we make some of this metaphoric, and can we, you know, about floods and fire, can we negotiate with water and fire going, oh, water, oh, fire. If this, then that, if we dedicate to cleansing water and to whatever, can we ameliorate some of this? And it's just an experiment, everybody. But does that resonate with yourself, this, you know, pragmatic, mystic animism to and fro?
Definitely resonates with me. There was two things that I wanted to bring in to this way of looking at the current situation. One would be my response to your the way you are perceiving the elimination of and having an enemy, you know, and then and the, how we engage with the variety of different ways we can see, quote, conspiracies. And yeah. and the way I work with it and the way I try to teach the Marizora school is that if it in any way invokes fear, then we don't go down that road. But if you want to include all the variety of different possibilities that could be occurring out there, and after we take after your break, I wanted to bring in some Aquarian themes, Mars and Aquarius, the Aquarius overtone of Mars, which I think is incredibly important over this next year, and it relates to the Uranian ingress into Taurus in ways that I think are really important. But it's but if we're bringing in, you know, all these variety of sort of Plutonian worst case situations, whether it's the climate, whether it's 5G or whatever, wherever direction you want to go with that, is that it's an exercise in awareness. You know, awareness, if you can maintain a certain balance of like, oh yes, and maybe that too, and oh yes, and maybe that too, you're including all of these things from a place of objectivity and calmness in the heart. So it's an exercise in awareness and consciousness, as opposed to, you know, denial or the worst thing, which would be just going into fear, you know, which then activates the dementors of doom.
Or being snookered into polarity. A lot of people get you know, when people, I hesitate to even mention it, but when people go into, you know, weather manipulation, which it does exist, but it's not. But what I'm wary of is people using that as an abdication of responsibility for the climate change chaos that to which we're all engaged, and as opposed to those people over the, no anyway.
Yeah, no, I'm with you entirely. But, so I'm just saying that trying to develop an awareness that we can include these things in our awareness, but to not have it polarize or to create fear or to then give additional energetic ammo for your expression, which I like, the Dementors of Doom.
Right. No, energetic ammo. In fact, ammo into the cauldron, and maybe also the, let me toss this to you too, which is language craft. That's our Virgo connection, right? Any habitual, unreflective use of language and metaphor, I think, wants to be examined. And people, the predominant use of the word triggered. Right, they go, oh, what you said triggered me, and it's like that makes you a gun, right? And it's like, or else Roy Rogers horse for those who are old timers. But it's like, but imagine the liberating quality. Rather than using the word triggered, you go, what you said really aroused me to, you know, be dedicated to what is good, or some damn thing here. All right, I can feel my colleague Chris Welch. breathing in the wings. I'm going to bring her in a very few minutes because we're going to be responsible, and then I will reluctantly release you. But this is just the beginning, Daniel. We've got a great deal to kahoot on. But anything you want to do with these 2 minutes here, the Mars and Aquarius thing.
I was going to say you'd be absolutely amused or entertained at the very least by what we were doing in the class I was just teaching last week, which was being. Exposing the inherent biases in language in astrology, you know, but basically things like exaltation, detriment, rulership, opposition, essentially words that create duality in the mind, and we were essentially replacing those words with other ways of looking at a more authentic relationship, you know, because even though maybe one day they weren't looking at it that way, but still, it you know, opposition means there's an enemy. You're up against something, you know. Rulership implies that, you know, something is superior. You know, I mean, we're essentially looking at... We're reinventing the entire language in our school, quite frankly.
No, that's great. No, and then there's we each get to keep one if we want and hold it behind our back. But yes, rulership, the way I work with humans and individuals and groups is, you know, say we're a Pisces, and we go, the old language says ruled by Jupiter and Neptune, but really what it means is incarnational agent of Jupiter and Neptune, so I go with that thing.
But exaltation, a different description, right, yes. But each of the words has a connotation in our mind, and it's just not particularly helpful or useful, so that's what we're doing anyway.
I want to keep hold of, for whatever reason, exaltation, just because I remember seeing a several hundred years BC arch in Turkey that had the planets in their exaltation, Mars and Capricorn, and I love wondering, like, why is Jupiter, the principle of storytelling, exalted in Cancer, providing nutrient? And then it was a phrase in the Arabian Nights that said, people need stories more than they need bread. And I go, oh, I love that. So I know it's antique, but it's like, I'm going to hold on to exaltation, but I'll get rid of detriment.
Cyril Fagan actually figured out that there was an exact alignment that happened in the 600s, 700s of the Babylonians, encapsulated, kind of like, okay, that configuration happened then, and that will be our ruling set of symbols for forever. And while we can find out maybe why that was true then, that actually, culture changes, archetype and myth change over time. So right. I like to not be imprisoned by something that that was formalized, 2,500 years ago.
I'm with you. We're liberating everything, including astrology, of all priesthoods and superstition and anything that is sneakily, colonial. And we go, all right, I'll give you last sentence, and then I'm going to go be responsible to a beautiful station with wonderful Chris Welch and reluctantly release you. But let's keep it going.
I got to talk to you about this this Aquarian Mars overtone and how it relates to some stuff that started in the 1930s, which is now coming to fruition. There's a whole thing which on that and that is associated with the magic of the Venus and Mars cycle.
All right, well, let's do another show soon.
Well, wait a minute. You mean this is all for today?
This is it. This is it, darling.
Oh,
I know.
You're putting me on hold for a while. Yikes.
No.
Okay, do I get one more minute?
Well, sure, and then I'll talk fast later. Okay.
I'm sorry. I didn't realize that was our terms of engagement today.
No, don't waste the time now. Keep going.
Okay.
All right,
Equinox. We've got this thing that only happens every 19 years where the full moon comes up and within minutes of the exact equinox. I mean, we've got the total complete alignment that only happens every 19 years, and it's a phenomenal time for ceremony and for setting one's own hierophany, their own stone circle, their own ceremonial space. There hasn't been anything like this since the year 2000. So get with that full moon and equinox point.
That's excellent. All right. I'll speak with you backstage. That's wonderful. I reluctantly release you. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Love you. All right. There we go. All right. Chris Welch, bless your heart. Are you there,
yes.
Chris Welch?
Who was
adorable.
That guy? Who was that masked man?
That's my adorable longtime Kahooter, Daniel Jamario, who is a fellow astro-mythological contributor. That's right, and he had 800 hours more to say of fascinating things, but we'll have to keep doing it. But that's why I was like, oh, there's patient Chris. There we go. All right, so let's do this thing.
Glad for that last reminder there about the equinox and the full moon, and that the last time was Y2K. Hello. Sort of, hey.
Right. And then we thank many people here. We thank Saskia and Forest Novels. Wonderful. We thank Barry and Scotts Valley. And we thank wonderful people in Charlestown, West Virginia. There we go. We thank wonderful Art in Healdsburg. Wonderful somebody in Joshua Tree. Wonderful somebody in San Francisco. Really great. Okay, that's wonderful. And we still got an $800 match somewhere.
Oh, yes, indeed.
So, all right, so...
Well, I have the facts about the match, which is Rob and Linda in Berkeley, Linda in Berkeley, Anonymous in Alameda, and Anonymous in Woodacre. They put up $800 that we're going to try to raise an equal amount of.
And also, I have a... I have a sneaky thing. I have a sneaky enticement as well, which is off the books. So let me pitch this, because we are heretics here on this show. It means free thinkers. So great ally Chris Hardman in San Francisco of Antenna Theater.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Makes these beautiful, beautiful echo calendars. They're four posters of the seasons with all the animals and the critters. They're just exquisite. I love them so much. He's sold out. But he has six that he's giving to the Visionary Actors Show. It's not on the formal books. So we're smuggling it in. So I'm saying for the first six humans who pledge $100 by itself or for one of the download collections, the Green Wizard Collection, which is fantastic, the Visionary Activist Show Myth and Mushroom Collection, which is fantastic for $100. The first six humans who pledge, go pledge, and then send me an email, info@coyotenetworknews.com, and you will get a free, fantastically beautiful calendar for six people. There you go. All right, so scuttle off to the phone, 1-800-439-5732. And you get a fantastic gift on top of the gift that you're pledging for $100 or more. What the hell? Let's make this station surprisingly, just come alive. With flushness and replenishment. Bless its heart, it has no earth in its chart. It's seven fire and three air, KPFA. So it wants the earth grounding of resources and dedicated, beautiful money. Money wants to be liberated by being donated to something wonderful. So, yeah, we've been having a splendid time for 23 years on the Visionary Activist Show.
Yes!
Amazing. So it started on Mercury retrograde. Take that, superstitious people. It just means it's never-ending, apparently. So yes, team, on behalf of your dogs, your cats, the people you love, the people who listen to this show who are in prison, hi there. People who are living on the streets who listen to this show, some of my favorite listeners, hi there. Pledge for them, pledge for this renaissance that we want to be a part of, with full awareness. Again, as Wendell Berry says, be jaunty, even though fully informed. There you go. So we want to be fully informed, yes, and jaunty by Jiminy,
yes,
because that's where we're aligned with the trickster.
I love that.
Yeah. So shall I tell them what they get?
Well, yeah.
you tell them what they get.
Okay,
so
here's the deal. Caroline is offering her own program, which is what we're trying to do here, to remind folks that when you subscribe to the station, when you support the station with your money, you are supporting what you're hearing. You're supporting the ability to hear Caroline Casey on a regular basis. And her Visionary Activist Show, Green Wizards, there's an audio recording collection that you will get for a $100 donation to KPFA that could be broken down to $10 a month. Just talk to the folks in the phone room about whatever works for you. 1-800-439-5732, 1-800-439-KPFA, and that's an MP3 download. There's another MP3 download, which I would really like to get. Hillman and Stamets Unlimited. Mr. Stamets, the mushroom guy, Myth and Mushrooms, an incredible interview, and with an incredible person who's doing incredible work. It's mind-boggling, really, what mushrooms are capable of.
It's pretty great.
Yeah.
And just to tout the show and our beloved station and everything, KPFA. So James Hillman was my very first guest on September 5th, 1996.
Oh, yeah.
Quite a score. And then Paul Stamets, his first radio event ever was with me. And now he's a rock star and can hardly return his email because he's so famous. But that's wonderful. We started these people. And that's also the Green Wizards. A lot of the people who are on there, they started and they're now they're really, well, I'm over-touting possibly. But Steve Buhner, wonderful botanist. No, it is possible. But Derek Jensen, but I'm particularly proud of the shows with Derek Jensen because he's Dr. Gloom in a lot of ways and spicy and, kind of bad boy, spicy, environmental, protect everything. But what we did dance. We danced, in
yes.
that realm of let's replace the word struggle with dancing, and let's replace the word fight with dance or spiral or something. There we go. So we did. You know, and it's also part of our dedication, you know, for all of us as strategists, cultural strategists, to, you know, we're aspiring, we're all befoibled and aspiring, but to speak to the part of others that we want to invite to dance. You know, hello, that part of you, right? Yes, you might have done sketchy stuff, but that part, come on forward, you know, and that's why we want to dance with the corresponding part of ourselves, and that's why it's ongoing kind of practice and training that is so important for us all now. Maybe yes. Some better word than important. But anyway, so we're offering many fun things as thank yous. You know, the Green Wizard Collection, which is fabulous. Again, it's Stephen Buhner, John Michael Greer, Derek Jensen, Michael Mead, David Blum. Green Wizards, because, you know, yay, good guys. And Mars in Taurus, you know, to redefine heroism as strong enough to be gentle, you know, and stewards and protectors of animals and creatures and life. Mm. That's the thing. You know, for a pledge of $100 or $10 a month. And then we also have the Myth and Mushroom series. It's the James Hellman first interview. And then I think all the Stamets shows that we've done throughout the years, many of them. And then the Visionary Activist tote bag.
Oh, yes. I didn't get to that one yet.
Yeah, if fascism arises in the absence of magic, then let magic rise. It's good for shopping because you go, hey, there's an undercover agent for goodness. Or actually, they're coming out, no longer undercover agents. But the positive intrigue, let's remember ancestor, a wonderful ally, Richard Farina, who said, take the zircon to Fapa and tell him we move tonight. Whoa. And so with that same spirit, take the zircon to Fapa and move to your phone and call 1-800-439-5732 to mobilize all the critters and dogs and plants and biomimicry and Janine Benyus and E.O. Wilson and the fabulous things, you know, going. Yeah, so 1-800-439-5732 is hereby a magic number. And just adding Saturn to whatever we do, dedication, you know, by the calling of this number, by the pledging of this magic amount, you can customize it. We asked for $100 for the audio recordings, but you could make it 103 or 114 or, you know, 10,000, whatever amuses you, whatever is significant, you know, by the pledging of this, may it be that this goodness enter the world, or may I be replenished as well, you know, may my household be full of harmony, whatever you want. It's magic. And magic is just a willingness to participate and to not condone, but to cooperate and spiral with everything. So 1-800-439-5732. And we still have that $800 match, I think.
Yes, we do. Right? Caroline Casey, the gift, really, that we have here at KPFA and the gift that we are hoping you will recognize and honor by supporting the station that brings her to you. And also get yourself some more Caroline in her Green Wizards audio recording collection or in the Myth and Mushrooms collection or both of them together. Either one, $100 or $10 a month. And then, of course, the tote bag for a $60 donation, which is $15 a month. I don't understand that, how 100 can be $10.
I tried to, but the grown-ups were very grumpy about it, going, yeah. We're heretical on air people. We don't know why some of the things they do, but never mind. because humans are all befoibled, you know, but Pacifica is the goddess of peace, and that's really what we're pledging to.
Amen.
That this voice, and I do see from the secret spying on the pledges that we're come on team, rousing. It's not yet impressive.
We have a good seven, eight minutes left, and we've got a good $400 or $500 to raise to make the match. 1-800-439-5732. Any amount that you pledge right now is doubled because of this $800 match from all those wonderful folks that lent their energy to build our energy. That's what it's all about. And that's, of course, what Caroline does. And I love that she was talking with Daniel DiMario about language, because she is so good with language. She is just I love it. It's so juicy. It gives you so much to chew on.
And then I have to clarify my heresy. Beautiful Cynthia in San Mateo has pledged $45. That's wonderful. And she'd like a calendar. No. the wheel and deal is for those who pledge $100, they get, first six people, only six people, get a calendar by emailing me, info@coyotenetworknews.com, because we're doing this sneaky thing. So nice try, Cynthia. You're almost there. If you pledge another $55, you're in. All right, so there we have it. We're just wheeling and dealing. There we go. Okay, so... yes, where are we? Oh, but that's you're a very calming influence, Chris. That's really good. It's true.
Well, I totally related to Roy Rogers' horse. That was triggered.
Oh, there you go. That's right, triggered. So, yeah. Yeah. That really triggered me. That turned me into Roy Rogers' horse. That's right. That's very darling. Okay, very calm, because we have 4.5 minutes.
Yes, and we have a phone number, and we have an online website, kpfa.org. Go there, and you can pick and choose among all these things, and it'll be much clearer maybe for some of you who prefer it in black and white, when you can look at Green Wizard's audio recording. That's me, and because I hear it, and I think, oh, but what did I hear? And I have to listen. I have to go see it. The Myth and Mushrooms, very visual. James Hillman and Paul Stamets, that is just, and you can imagine the conversations, as she just said, Derek Jensen, whom I've spoken with as well, and talk about gloom, and, you know, it's important that we know
I got
how
him jolly.
Bad it is.
I got him.
But she, of course, of course, got him jolly.
Not every show, perhaps, but yeah. Because it's also, you know, at a certain point, you know, we again can disrupt and liberate each other. And at a certain point, I just said, what gives you joy, Derek? You know, and he's like, walking with my dogs. And I go, me too. Let's go there.
Yeah.
Right? And then we came back into the fray, you know. But it's like, right, yes, all of those beautiful things. And so on the website, wonderful, somebody in Madera, California, that's really great. Okay, so I've got a secret spy page here. but yes, no, and also we now have 3 minutes left.
Yes.
But I do, just time is mysterious. From a board op years ago, I was rushing in going, we only have 5 minutes to live radio, and can you edit this thing? And he's like, sure, no problem. He goes, we have 5 minutes. Think of how long 5 minutes of dead air would be on the radio. It's forever. So, you know, we don't want to threaten people like, what if KPFA went away? It's like, no, let's not visualize that. But think of the not dead air. Think of the lively air. And that also is forever. And, you know, providing nutrient and a place of gathering for all of us. And, you know, the image for KPFA's sun, its backstage invisible radio magic self, Sun Venus North Node, is a woman bursting with gifts more than she can hold. And that really is the KPFA dynamic. And the women's show that I know you've been in cahooting with, the women are doing
the
local
day Saturday,
embodied all day Saturday, though, you know, women bursting with gifts more than they can hold. There's so much generosity here. And it is a... overhead, the image for Pacifica is a radical magazine circulating liberating ideas, and that's what we're aspiring to do. So we have 2 more minutes here. Keep me calm, Chris. That's right. That's very good.
Well, we have to remember to give people the phone number again, which is 1-800-439-5732, 1-800-439-KPFA, kpfa.org online. And go to the website and go to the phones, talk to the folks in the phone room. And if you want to get the Visionary Activist Show, the Green Wizards audio recording collection, your $100 donation, you can do it for $10 a month. And it will also give you access to Chris Hardiman's calendar, which sounds wonderful.
Only six people.
1-800-439-5732. There's somebody from Corralitos who is going to be able to check out that. Yes, 1-800.
I have to read their comment because it's
go.
So darling.
Yes.
Thank you, Corralitos. They say, keep up the good work. We learn from every program, morning through night. Very good.
Yes.
Right, and there's Jamie in Placerville who gets the Visionary Activist tote bag. Yay. And, wonderful. And somebody in Crestone, Colorado.
Yes.
Cool. Gets the Visionary Activist tote bag. Good for you, guys. And Gaius. Wonderful. There we go. All right.
All right. 1-800-439-5732. We're getting there. The match is 800. So far, we're at 658. Come on, you guys.
Oh,
just
come on, team.
Two more people get the download or donate $100. Two more.
Exactly.
1-800-439-5732.
or online, kpfa.org, because we have a lot of virtual, well, everybody's virtual, really, listeners, you know, in Japan, in Alaska, in Australia. Hi there. Might not be in this time zone right now. We have listeners in Syria, you guys, and South Africa. And feel free to pledge online, kpfa.org. This is a great gathering place. It is a council. Radio is intrinsically magic and democratic. And let's see, we have, let's make this match. Oh, come on, team.